The text of Scripture I want to draw to your attention this evening is in the third verse of the book of the Song of Solomon in the third chapter. And these are the words of our text. It is again a question. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Now, as I said to you the other night, rightly understood, if you look into the book of the Song of Solomon, what you find there is that it is set forth unto us as a series of speeches. Now, there are times in the book of the Song of Solomon when the bride will speak, and there are other times in the book of the Song of Solomon when the bridegroom will speak. Now, they are not the only two speakers that you find in the whole of the book of the Song of Solomon. However, they are the two principal speakers. There are others. The daughters of Jerusalem ask questions. The watchmen ask questions. However, when we come to this particular passage of Scripture this evening, it is the bride who is asking the question. And as I said to you earlier in the week, if you want to understand in a didactic way how the book of the Song of Solomon is set forth for its Hebrew poetry, and therefore a good bit more complicated than some of the other things that we read in the Scripture, what you might do to look into a teaching passage of the Bible, or a didactic passage, I should say, you would turn over to Ephesians in chapter 5, begin your reading there about verse 22, read through to the end of the chapter, and there it would set forth to you the whole concept, as it appears in that particular passage, of the relationship that exists between the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride, which is the church. Now, if you count yourself tonight to be a member of the body of Christ, that is, you've had that experience of saving grace. You have, in your lifetime, somewhere along the line, come to know Him whom to know aright is life eternal. You can say of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Then tonight you can legitimately count yourself as being a member of the body of Christ, one of the people of God, part of His church. And so, for you this evening, what you're going to hear within the next few minutes is actually the Lord Jesus Christ set forth to you in such a way, I hope, as to draw your heart out after Him more thoroughly. Now, you can sing perhaps already, oh, how I love Jesus. But what I find in my own spiritual experience, and maybe you find this as well, is that there are times when I can sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and yet I don't feel that love in my heart so strong as at other times. I've been married, it'll be coming June, 31 years. And in that relationship, over 31 years, have I loved my wife during that time? Yes. Has she loved me during that time? Yes, she has. Yet, all of us who have been married any length of time realize that in a love relationship, there are times when the love is warmer and closer and the fellowship sweeter, and there are other times when, for various reasons, it can be less sweet, the fellowship is not quite just so close, and the relationship is not quite just so warm. So the reason I'm preaching this message tonight, as far as those of you who are members of the body of Christ, is this. I would desire, above all things, that God would, by the power of His Holy Spirit, fan the flame of love in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, as He has perhaps not done for many days. I would desire that when you come to the house of God on the Lord's Day, that you would come with a heart full of love for Jesus Christ and a fellowship that's closer than perhaps it's been for many years. It's not just enough to me for me to come here wholly and solely for the purpose of preaching the gospel. Now, I came to preach the gospel. I came to, by the grace of God, set forth the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost, at that by the grace of God they might come to know Christ as Savior. And that's one of my chief purposes in being here. But I also would like to do some good to the people of God. I would also like to encourage their hearts. I would also like to set forth the Lord Jesus Christ to them so that it will help them in their spiritual experience of the things of God. So that's certainly one purpose that I have in preaching the Lord Jesus Christ to you this evening. The other purpose that I have is, and I've alluded to it already, is that this is a gospel mission. Therefore, perhaps there are those of you who have come in this evening. Maybe a friend brought you. Maybe you just heard about this gospel mission. Maybe you're someone who grew up in the church, wherever that congregation happens to be. And yet, if I were to describe this text in reference to you this evening, you could not say that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, they might ask this question, "Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth?" And yet, if you are as yet out of Christ, if you are as yet one of those who has not embraced Him as He's freely offered in the gospel, what you've in essence said by your refusal is, "No, I do not love Christ. No, I may admire Him. I may have thoughts of Christ. I may have discussed Him. I may have studied His life. I may have intellectualized about Him. I may have philosophized about Him. But I don't know Christ. Therefore, I cannot say that I love Him." This bride in this text of Scripture, she has her heart fixed on this individual. There's come an estrangement. The relationship, the fellowship that was perhaps warm at one time isn't quite so warm as it was. And she, at this point, is desiring to find Him. They've sort of been separated to some degree. And so we find that by night, on her bed, she sought Him whom her soul loved. She sought Him, but she didn't find Him. Then she says, "This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not." So you see here that she's grown very sleepy. She sought Him on her bed. She couldn't find Him. And she said, "Now I'm going to rise up and I'm going to seek Him." And perhaps, Christian, that's been your experience. Perhaps you have found yourself in a very spiritually drowsy state. Maybe the cares of the world have gotten into your life. Maybe you've become very busy. And that warm, sweet fellowship that you used to have, those sweet seasons of refreshment, are now gone away. And maybe tonight you, as a child of God, can testify that these first few verses are in fact your testimony. And maybe even at the right at the beginning of our preaching, you would say with me, "I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not." And maybe you tonight would say with the bride, "Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth?" For who can answer that question? Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? There are a number of people, and I would rather that they answered the question tonight than for me to merely answer the question in the best manner in which I was capable. No, there are a host of people who, when you ask the question, "Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth?" who can answer that question? For we could ask the question, "Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth in eternity?" And there would be two who could answer that question. It would be God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit could answer the question. They could say, "Yes, we have seen Him whom thy soul loveth in eternity." Because there was a time when the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And before that, when time was not, the Father was there. The Holy Spirit was there. And they and the one whom the church's soul loves were all together, equal in power and glory, the same in essence. And before time began, they shared fellowship together, utterly complacent in that fellowship, enjoying one another's company, the Father and the Son. If you ask the question, "Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth in eternity, the Father and the Holy Spirit could answer their question. And they could say, yes, we've seen Him, whom thy soul loveth. We saw Him in eternity. And not only did we see Him in eternity, but we saw Him at the creation of the world. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And so the Father and the Spirit could say, yes, we saw Him whom thy soul loveth in eternity. We saw Him there at creation. We saw Him when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. We saw Him before all that you see now ever was. When we ask the question, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? The Father and the Holy Spirit answer us and say, yes, we saw Him whom thy soul loveth in eternity. And they have a ready answer for us. But we might also go on to ask that question of others. For we could say, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth in history? And the holy men of God and the holy women of God could say, yes, we saw Him whom thy soul loveth in history. For Adam was in the garden. And he heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And it was to Adam that that challenge came, where art thou? And Adam could say to you, yes, I have seen Him whom thy soul loveth. Because He exposed my sin. He exposed the fact that I had not done that which was right. And He dealt with me. And He at that time spoke unto me of the seed of the woman. And in essence prophesied of His own coming. Yes, I've seen Him whom thy soul loveth. And Eve could say, yes, I was there. And I saw Him as well. And He spoke to me about that seed that would come forth. And He told me about that man that would come. And I saw him at that time as well. And Abraham could say, yes, I saw him whom thy soul loveth, for I was out in the plain of Mamre. And there I sat, and this one whom thy soul loveth came, and he spoke to me. He spoke to me about what would happen in days to come. He promised me that Sarah, my wife, would bear a son. And in due course of time, she did bear that son. And even when he made that promise, Sarah behind me in the tent, she laughed. And he knew that she had laughed. And he challenged her about her laughter. And she denied it. And he said, yea, but thou didst laugh. Yes, I've seen him whom thy soul loveth. In history, I saw him in the plains of Mamre. And Moses could say, yes, I saw him as well, because I was tending sheep out in the wilderness. For 40 years I'd been in Egypt, and then I went into the backside of the desert for 40 years, and for 40 years I hid myself away. For 40 years I tended sheep for Jethro, my father-in-law. But there came a day when I was out in the course of my daily activity, minding my own business, herding those sheep, and I saw a bush that was burning. And that bush was burning, but it was not being consumed. And I turned aside to see that great sight. And out of that bush there spoke a voice that told me to take my shoes from off my feet, because the place whereon I stood was holy ground. And then I saw him whom thy soul loveth, and he spoke to me out of the burning bush, and he told me that I ought to go back to Egypt, back to that place that I had left in shame, having murdered a man and fled the country, that I ought to go back there, and that I ought to declare to Pharaoh that he ought to let the people of God go. Yes, I saw him whom thy soul loveth in history. I saw him whom thy soul loveth later, because I went to the Mount of God. I took the children of Israel there, and God called me up to the Mount. And there He wrote upon tables of stone the Ten Commandments, and I received them at His hand. And I asked if I could see Him, and He allowed me to pass by and behold His glory, and I could see the backward parts of Him. Yes, I've seen Him whom thy soul loveth in history. And Joshua could say also, who followed after Moses, yes, I've seen him. I've seen him whom thy soul loveth. Because there came the time when I took the children of Israel after the death of Moses across into the land of Jordan. And I was preparing to besiege the city of Jericho. And there was a man who stood up And I didn't know whether he was for us or against us. And I challenged him. And I asked him whether he was on our side, whether he was against us. And he said that he had come as the captain of the Lord's host. Yes, I have seen him whom thy soul loveth in history. And Gideon could also add his testimony to having seen him whom thy soul loveth. For he would say, I was threshing wheat down by a wine press to try to hide it from the Midianites. And I was fearful because they had taken over the land. And I was there threshing my wheat down by the wine press when the angel of Jehovah appeared unto me. And he gave to me an assignment. He told me that I was to take a group of people and that I was to stand against the Midianites. And he told me I was to take some very strange weapons with me. But I did see him. And he gave me my assignment, and by the power of God, we saw a great victory wrought. But yes, I've seen him whom thy soul loveth. And Isaiah, that evangelical prophet, could say, yes, I've seen him whom thy soul loveth, because in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. He was sitting upon a throne. The skirts of his robe filled the temple. There were seraphim there. They had six wings. With twain they covered their face. With twain they covered their feet. With twain they did fly. And they cried out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Yes, I've seen him whom thy soul loveth. I've seen him in a way in which very, very few other people in the history of the world have ever had the opportunity to see him. Yes, I have seen him whom thy soul loveth. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they could all say, yes, we've seen him whom thy soul loveth. For we were carried off into Babylon. We were made slaves. We were there in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, and we were there as his servants. And there came the time when he set up a gold statue in the plain of Dura. And when he said that all must worship that gold statue, and we refused to do so. And when he challenged us about it, we said that we would not do it. And he had already promised that anyone who would not worship that gold statue in the plain of Dura, that they would be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And we were so careless about our own lives that we said it doesn't matter whether our God delivers us or doesn't. We still will not bow down, nor will we worship. And so infuriated was the king that he had the furnace heated seven times hotter than it was usually heated. And he had us cast with all our clothing into that burning fiery furnace. And so strong was the flame that it reached out and licked up the lives of those who cast us in. And we were cast down into it, bound hand and foot. And then suddenly there was one with us, and he was the one whom thy soul loveth. And our bands were loosed. And we were walking about with him in the midst of the burning fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar saw it. And he came down and began to speak to us and asked us if we would come out. He said, of that situation, did we not throw three men into the flame? And I see four in the form of the fourth as like the Son of God. Yes, we have seen him whom thy soul loveth. We've seen no one less than him. For he delivered us from the burning fiery furnace. Yes, we've seen him whom thy soul loveth in history. And these are not the only testifiers of those who have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is beloved by his people. Because if we go farther into the Word of God, we find that we can ask the question again, saw ye him whom my soul loveth in his humility? And the evangelists, four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all testify that they also have seen him whom our soul loves, because they testify that we have seen him as a babe in the manger. We remember that night when the angels came and announced his coming, when they spoke to the shepherds, when the shepherds rose up from the hillside, when they went in to worship him. And we remember, and we saw him whom thy soul loveth when the wise men came and rendered their gifts unto him. And we saw him as a youth in the temple as he sat down in the midst of the doctors, and as he began to ask them questions and as he listened to their answers. And we remember seeing him when his mother came, being concerned because he was not in the company of those who were traveling back to their home of Nazareth. And when he and his mother and Joseph, his guardian, asked him the question, As to where he had been, he said, "Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Yes, we saw him whom thy soul loves as a babe in a manger and as a youth in the temple. And yes, we've seen him whom thy soul loveth as he grew into manhood and then went down to the river Jordan, where John the Baptist was baptizing and would have been baptized of John. And John demurred and said, 'I would need to be baptized of you, and you come to be baptized of me.' And his response was, 'Yeah, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Permit it now to be so.' And John the Baptist baptized him. And as he came from the water, the Holy Spirit came down as a dove, and the voice of God the Father came from above declaring that this was His Son in whom He was well pleased. Yes, we've seen Him whom thy soul loveth in His humility. We've seen Him whom thy soul loves, and we saw Him at the marriage feast of Cana when He performed His first public miracle and He turned the water into wine. We've seen Him whom thy soul loveth as He healed the sick, whether they were blind or lame or halt or dumb. He healed them. We saw how He cleansed the leper, one and then ten. How He raised the dead. How He raised the son of the widow of Nain. How He raised the daughter of Jairus. How He raised Lazarus from the dead. Yes, we've seen Him whom thy soul loveth, and we testify, never man spake like this man. He spake as one having authority and not as the scribes. We have seen Him whom thy soul loves in His humility." And my, what a sight it was. We saw Him on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter and James and John. We saw Him as His whole aspect was changed, as His garments became white and glistering, as Moses and Elijah stood on one hand and another, and they spoke with Him there. We saw Him whom thy soul loveth utterly and completely transfigured. We've seen Him whom thy soul loves. We saw Him at the Last Supper. We saw Him in the upper room as He laid aside His garments, as He girded Himself with a towel, as He began to go around to each one of His disciples and wash their feet. And He came to Peter, and Peter didn't want Him to wash His feet. And how there was this discussion back and forth, and how this one whom thy soul loveth said, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And we saw Him on that night when He said to Judas, "That thou doest, do quickly." And when Judas went out to do his evil deed, and we saw Him whom thy soul loveth as He went out to the Garden of Gethsemane and left some of His disciples there nearly at the edge of that garden. And as He took the three inner circle there, Peter and James and John, and took them in a bit closer, and then went off from them about a stone's throw. And we saw Him whom thy soul loveth as He on hands and knees there bowed and sweat as it were great drops of blood, and asked that if it be possible that this cup might pass from Him, then declared, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? Yes, we have. We've seen Him in His humility. The evangelists once again can go a bit farther in their testimony of what they've seen of Him whom our soul loveth. For we might ask the question again in a different way. Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth at Calvary? And once again, the evangelists come back with a ready answer. They can say, "We saw Him on the night when He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that unruly mob came in with Judas as their leader. And He, that base traitor, kissed the fairest of cheeks. And had that kiss been ink, it would have left the blackest of marks upon that fair cheek. And we heard the voice say, 'Wherefore art thou come, friend?' We saw Him whom thy soul loveth declare, 'If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way.' We saw Him whom thy soul loveth led away to the house of Caiaphas, the house of Annas, and ultimately then to Pilate, and then Herod and Pilate. And we have seen Him whom thy soul loveth so beaten and abused. We've seen Him treated as no person ought to be treated, lashed with the Roman cat of nine tails till the flesh was flayed off of His back. with a crown of thorns plaited about his head and beaten down with a rod, robed with a purple robe and mocked. We've seen him whom thy soul loveth, so badly beaten, abused, and treated that you would at the end scarcely have recognized that he was even a human being. Yes, I have seen him whom thy soul loveth, and this was how they treated him. Yes, I've seen him whom thy soul loves, and this was how they treated him on his way to the cross. And I saw him whom thy soul loves having the cross member laid upon him and carrying that cross out, so weak and so debilitated from loss of sleep and from loss of blood and from ill treatment that he could not even barely make it. And I saw Roman soldiers lay him down and spread his arms out and pound those long Roman spikes through his hands and through his feet. And I saw him whom thy soul loveth at Calvary. I saw them raise him up. I saw them drop the post into the hole and heard the flesh tear. I saw him whom thy soul loveth at Calvary. I heard him utter from the cross those cries, those horrid, horrid cries, until at the last he spoke that one great word of victory, tetelestai. It is finished. I've seen him whom thy soul loveth at Calvary, and commend his spirit into the hands of God his Father. Yes, I've seen him whom thy soul loveth at Calvary. I saw them come along and take the spear and pierce his side so that blood and water poured out. I saw tender hands take him down. I saw them lay him in a borrowed tomb and loving hands wrap him and leave him there. I've seen him whom thy soul loveth at Calvary. And I have read in the Word of God that this work which he did was done for you and was done for me. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Oh, yes. I've seen him whom thy soul loveth at Calvary. But the story is not done there. For I've seen him whom thy soul loveth in glory. The death of Jesus Christ was not the end of him. For he was delivered for our offenses, but raised again for our justification. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Yes. The Apostle John can answer this for us. For he can say, I saw him whom thy soul loveth in glory. The Scripture declares in the Gospel of John, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And John says, yes, I saw him whom thy soul loveth. I saw him alive from the dead. I was one who went to see an empty tomb. But in just a little while I would see him and he would be alive. More alive than I'd ever seen him before. We were in a locked room and he walked through and there he was in the midst of it. And the lock didn't hold him out. And then he came back and he challenged Thomas, who had refused to believe the first time. Challenged him about the prints in his hands and in his feet. Challenged him to take his hand and thrust it into his side. I have seen him whom thy soul loveth, and I have seen him alive from the dead. I have seen him whom thy soul loves on the Mount of Ascension. For I, John could say, was there on that day. And we saw him as he gathered us together, and we saw him as he raised up from the earth, and we heard the voice of those two angels that stood beside us who declared that he would come again in like manner as we had seen him go. Yes, we saw him whom thy soul loveth as he ascended back to his Father. John can say, you know, I saw him even after that. For as an old man, John would tell us, I was on the Isle of Patmos, exiled there because of my beliefs. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and a voice spake to me. I turned to hear the voice that spake, and I saw one like to the Son of God. His garment was like a transfigured one. It was white, glistering, yet a voice that sounded like many waters. And I saw Him whom thy soul loves, and I saw Him in glory. And I went on to write the rest of the revelation that I was able to receive, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And chapter by chapter as I wrote, I saw Him again and again and again. I saw Him on the throne as the Lamb. And I saw those around the throne shouting, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb." I've seen Him whom thy soul loveth in glory. And on towards the end of the revelation, I saw Him coming riding upon a horse, and thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands with Him. And He had a vesture that was dipped in blood, and He had a name upon His thigh. And it was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I have seen Him whom thy soul loveth in glory. And my, what a sight it was to see the lowly Savior transformed now into the King and Lord known and acclaimed by all. That every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. John says, yes, I've seen Him whom thy soul loveth. Yes, I've seen Him. Child of God, there is the testimony of what these people have seen. They have seen Him whom thy soul loveth. And tonight, there is not one thing that I could do, I believe, to encourage you more than to hold up unto you these people's testimony and to set before you that this is the great love of the church's life. No one else excites our hearts more than Christ. No one else draws our attention more than Him. No one else has demonstrated His love toward us in such a way that He would come and live and die and rise again, and more than that, would promise to come again to receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. Child of God, if you are here this evening, I have attempted in a very feeble way to set forth to you the loveliness of Jesus Christ and how He can be found from eternity right through unto eternity, with one sole purpose, that you should go out of here with a sight of Christ that perhaps you've never had before, or you're certainly not had for many years. And if you're here this evening and you don't know Christ as Savior, I have set before you a person of unsurpassable beauty. Unsurpassed in the beauty of His person, unsurpassed in the efficacy of His work, unsurpassed in the power of His glory. Unsaved person, I've set before you Jesus Christ tonight. He's the great love of these people who sit around you. If you have set your heart on a lesser love, you're settling, believe me, for a far, far second best. What you need to do, whoever you are tonight, I don't know whether you've come with a group, whether you've come by yourself, whether you've come at the invitation of a friend, whether you've come on your own, you need to come to know this person whom we know. You need to come to love this person that we love. For with the eyes of faith, those of you who sit around you, those who sit around you tonight, with the eyes of faith, we can say, we have seen Him, and we love Him, and we desire to know more of Him, as much more as He will enable us to know and understand, until the day when the faith is sight, and the clouds roll back as a scroll, and when we are like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.